I'm mamish get so much chizuk by the way that you're presenting so many of these fundamentals about bitachon and just really trying to get to the bottom of all these areas. Again, as we've learned many times, ultimately bitachon and emunah, it's the aside of foundation of the entire Torah, mitzvahs, everything we have. So it's just a tremendous inspiration just to see how you're getting to the bottom of it and doing your best to get to the bottom of it. Ashrecha, shall continue, mechayel, chayel, all of you. Okay, so you mentioned quite a few fun things about numerous fundamentals about bitachon here. So with Hashem's help, may Hashem help us to address them in the best way. I'm going to start with the final point you mentioned first, just because that was just to do it in a more organized way. So you mentioned that with regards to the story of the Kohen Gadol in the Torah, we know that as you illustrated, when a person was sent to an Eir Miklat because they inadvertently killed somebody else. In times of in ancient times, so they would be sent to one of the special cities, and the only way for them to get out would be when the Kohen Gadol would die. And as the Gemara says, that the mother of the Kohen Gadol would send presents to each of these people, kind of to get on their good side, so that they wouldn't pray too hard for the Kohen Gadol to die, because the mother of the Kohen Gadol wouldn't want them to daven too hard, because again, if they would daven good, then the Kohen Gadol would die. And then these people would be let out of the cities and be able to return to a normal life. So it would seem from here that this is almost like an axiom of creation that tefillah always works. Now, there's many, many, many passages, and we'll get there, Bezrat Hashem, in one of the later sections. I think it's part 13 or 14 of the Transform Your Bitachon series, going through many of the sources. But there's many, many, many different passages throughout Chazal. And whilst tefillah is certainly something that was practiced throughout the ages and certainly very, very powerful, at the same time, there's many passages that it's very clear that tefillah is not an axiom of creation like bitachon. Just two that come to mind, for example, Moshe Rabbeinu had to daven 515 times. Yes, eventually Hashem said to him, please stop davening because it's getting to a point where it's carrying so much weight, your tefillah, that I'm going to have to listen. But if it was an axiom of creation, why, you know, tefillah number one, tefillah number two, maybe eventually if a person davens a billion tefillahs, however it works, you know, but Moshe Rabbeinu was sincere in each one of his tefillahs and it didn't work then, you know, because Hashem had other chesbonos. Another one is the famous Orach Chaim. He says again in the Pasuk in the Torah where Hashem says to the Jewish people, Matitzak Eli, Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, why are you crying out to me? And the Orach Chaim explains, stop davening. Tefillah is not going to work in this situation. The only thing that's going to work is the tremendous power of bitachon, just jumping into the sea and assuming that I'm going to do a miracle for you and split the sea because of your dedication to having bitachon in me. So again, this is not to underplay tefillah by any means. The yesod and foundation of all of Judaism and Yiddish, you know, the pillar of Yiddishkeit is tefillah, as we see throughout the ages. And this is actually my main focus throughout all of the Emunah series, that everything we have is ultimately just talking to Hashem in our own words. Whilst at the same time, our assumption shouldn't be that Hashem is for sure going to listen to us. There's many, many factors. And sometimes Hashem says no, sometimes Hashem says later, sometimes Hashem says he has other cheshbonos. So it's definitely not in the same category as this type of bitachon that we're exploring, that it's such a powerful spiritual axiom that it for sure will work regardless of anything else. So there's definitely an inherent difference between bitachon and tefillah as portrayed by many others. Sfarim, I'm just again, will Bezrat Hashem get there in an organized way in the series, but just for now, just to give a little bit of an overview. So that just addresses that question. It definitely is a very big difference. However, at the same time, as Rabbi Yonah and others write, the two are also very interlinked, obviously, even though they can be separated. For example, jumping into the sea without necessarily davening, that is an action of bitachon, not necessarily tefillah. Whereas whenever you're davening, that is certainly an expression of bitachon also, because like Rabbi Yonah writes in Brachas, that you wouldn't be davening to Hashem if you don't believe in Him and you're not relying on Him. The only reason you're davening to Hashem is if you're relying to Him, on Him. And obviously, so they very much interlink, whilst at the same time, there are subtle differences. It doesn't, in a practical sense, it doesn't, these things are almost technical questions. The bottom line, you know, if a person wants to know just practically what to do, it's any situation you need Hashem, you should always just be in touch with Hashem, davening to Hashem, speaking to Him in your own words, and access all of these elements. On the one hand, ask Hashem, please save me from the situation. I don't expect anything, but I know you can. On the other hand, sometimes access is the time of bitachon. Hashem, I really need you to save me. I'm relying on you that you are going to save me. I'm counting on you and trying to get to that sincere place of absolute bitachon and kind of fluctuating between the two because, it's very subtle. And each one of us, just on different days, you reach different levels of emunah, of bitachon, etc. And just knowing about what we have in our arsenal of weapons, of tefillah, of bitachon, etc., then we're already much more powerful in terms of how to access all these things. And then we're able to apply it in a relevant way that is personal to each one of us, you know, but at least just knowing the concepts already is a starting, an amazing starting board to be able to be successful in the whole endeavor. But the bottom line, you know, like, it's pretty simple. So when we get like many of the greats teach, like when it comes to practical emunah bitachon, you almost need to forget everything you know and just be sincere. Just cry to Hashem, talk to Hashem, just what comes naturally, whatever comes. Or whether it's just, please Hashem, help me, you don't owe me, you don't need to do it, I know you have many factors, if you don't want to, it's okay, I accept it with love. Whilst at the same time, Hashem, I'm begging you, please help me. Or again, tapping to the other side, Hashem, I'm desperate, I need you, I'm relying on you, I'm not counting on anyone else except for you, I have no plan B. Please Hashem, show me that you're actually listening, give me a chizuk, inspiration in my bitach, and that you do come through for me, etc. So anyway, that's just important to just put out there, because on the one hand, this topic can become almost like a technical topic, and the most practical and important part of emunah, bitach, and tefillah is the practical part. It's just simply every day speaking to Hashem in our own words. Like I say, sometimes tapping into that amazing, very strong, powerful form of bitachon, that I'm so reliant on Hashem, and I'm so sincere in that reliance that I know He's going to come through, and He does come through. He will for sure come through, as we've learned many times. Whilst at the same time, the main thing is just being in touch with Hashem, constant communication with Hashem, even if it's never reaching this type of bitachon, even if it's just the first type of bitachon that we've learned about, what people usually call the chazanish type of bitachon, which again we'll learn about more when we get to that section. But again, just simply just knowing Hashem can do anything, and if that is the case, if a person knows that, it's the obvious first form of hishtadlus to always, like the Chazon Ish says, that half of hishtadlus is just davening to Hashem. That means the element of hishtadlus, not the spiritual efforts, just the hishtadlus side of it is just davening to Hashem. And like the Chazon Ish says, that when he relates to hishtadlus, he relates to it with kerirus, with a certain sense of coldness, because there's so many different forms of effort in the world. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, this and that. But the one thing that always works is speaking to Hashem. So that's what he treats truly seriously. So that's the bottom line. The type of bitachon almost becomes a detail. That's just very important to highlight, because this is like the bottom line take home. So that's just the one element that you mentioned. I just would like to also address the other points that you mentioned, B'siyata Dishmaya. And this is a very interesting topic. We haven't yet reached another Transform Bitachon series. It's coming in soon in one of the parts. I think it's part 7 or part 8. And there, the question is, can a sinner apply Bitachon? And there are many sources. I'm not going to go through all of them now, but on one foot, very briefly, the bottom line halacha for us in today's day and age from the Rishonim and Achronim is, like the Midrash, like the Ramban, and like the Chofetz Chaim, etc., that even if somebody is a Rasha, literally a Rasha, they're committing Averis, explicit Averis, but nevertheless they manage to get to a place of real reliance on Hashem. So on the one hand, they're messing up in mitzvahs, etc., and nobody's saying that's okay. Everyone agrees that one has to make the maximum effort to stop Averis, do mitzvahs, etc., and there's certainly consequences for that. Whilst at the same time, the opportunity for Bitachon is completely independent from our scorecard, in terms of our spiritual scorecard, in terms of how we're doing, in terms of averas and mitzvahs. And that being the case, just to realize that the opportunity for bitachon is available to every single one of us to the same degree. It's not dependent on the amount of mitzvahs and averas that we do. So the questions that you're asking, that already is just a very powerful point, just to internalize that bitachon is literally available to every single one of us every single day, regardless of our level. We always have this opportunity to come to Hashem, and it's independent of our mitzvahs and averas. And again, to realize that besides for the fact that it can work and Hashem can save you with what you need in this situation, parnasa, shidduchim, children, whatever it might be, person's going through, but at the same time, even more than that, this is the greatest mitzvah. So when a person's practicing bitach and tefillah, all these things, they're fulfilling the greatest mitzvah, which they're obviously going to get tremendously rewarded for. But in a more direct way, just to what you also asked, does that mean that a person can have bitachon to the, you know, if bitachon is such a strong axiom of creation, can a person have bitachon that Hashem, they have bitachon that Hashem will help them to steal from the bank? Can a person have bitachon that they that we understand already from everybody, the bottom line halacha, like I said, and again we'll see the sources inside when we get to that section, that bitachon is an axiom that works regardless of our spiritual, independent of our spiritual scorecard. So yes, if a person is doing averas, they still have the same opportunity of bitachon. Whilst at the same time, does that mean one can only have bitachon for things Hashem would agree with. So yes, usually that's the easy side of it. And this is, again, if you want a practical take home, this is almost what you're asking is almost a technical question, because practically most people in the world are not trying to steal a bank, steal from a bank, or not trying to harm another individual. And if they are, they're not going to be trying to use bitachon to do that. Usually a person, they need a shidduch, they need paranasa, they need health, they need etc. They need all these things that, for all those things that everybody agrees is good for us. It's good for a person to be healthy. It's a good thing to try, have paranasa, to look after the family, all these things. Everybody agrees that you can and should have bitachon for that. So in practically speaking, it's not really relevant, meaning it's going to be for most people, like I say, they're going to be in that boat. But you're just asking a technical question. If bitachon is an axiom that absolutely works, what if a person has bitachon that they're going to rob a bank? Will Hashem help them rob the bank? A. And B, what if a person has bitachon that they're going to harm another individual? Does that mean that Hashem will allow one individual to harm another individual because of this axiom of bitachon? So, to summarize very briefly what's written, I'll just mention by many sfarim. And again, when we get to those sections, we'll discuss them more in detail, but I'll just mention 2 points. Number one, what we've mentioned previously, is that the fact that there are so many psukim, and we quoted this from the Leshem also, who explained it beautifully, the fact that there's so many psukim that Hashem calls on us and commands us to have bitachon in Him, literally, countless psukim all over the Torah, as we've been through already many of them. Hashem says, please have bitachon in me. It's the greatest bitachon in me. And once we've understood what the definition of bitachon is, that it means rely on me to the extent that you're expecting me to come through for you, and I will come through for you, then it's obvious that, like the Leshem says, it's like Avtochem of Reshes Batorah, it's as if Hashem gave you that explicit command in the Torah. And that being the case, if you in theory have bitachon for something that could harm someone else, Hashem will make the situation work out in a way that it will work out best for everybody. You don't know how that will be, but let's say you're trying to harm another individual, and let's say that bitachon is going to work. So Hashem will make it. It's not that you're now, because of the power of your bitachon, you're going to cause something bad to happen to another individual that wouldn't have happened. Hashem will cause it to be that something bad needed to happen to another individual, and this is the best way for it to happen, taking everything into account. And your bitachon is not ruining anything. In fact, it's making everything much better for everybody, taking everything into account. Again, in a way that only Hashem can orchestrate everything in the most incredible way put together. So that's the first thing just to realize. It's always going to work out for the best, A. But being more directly related to a question, this is an interesting, like I say, more technical question. Can a person have bitachon that they're going to steal? Can a person have bitachon to do an aveira? Again, let me make it clear. We're not saying if a person does aveiras, can they have bitachon for other areas of their life? That is clear that a person can. Even if a person's committing aveiras, they can have bitachon to do good things. Like I say, to have paranasa, to all that, to have health, to have relationship, if they're having relationship challenges, etc., and all the other areas. Whereas, can a person have bitachon to do something bad? Can a person have bitachon to kill someone else, etc.? So simply speaking, here it becomes more difficult. And simply speaking, the most basic answer would be no. Then bitachon kind of there, the axiom of bitachon would not work. And there you see it we're going to get into in the Chofetz Chaim, he writes it in one place in Shmirah Salash, and he says, bitachon always works as long as a person is not moired against Hashem, as long as a person is not intentionally going against Hashem's commandments. Stealing is an outright explicit command that we all know you're not allowed to do, the same with murder, etc. So simply speaking, when a person would try to do those things with bitachon, again, a very simple answer would just be, yeah, then the axiom of bitachon wouldn't apply. That would be one way. However, there is, it's said, b'shem the Vilna Gaon, it's written in numerous places. The one place, Rav Bloch, he's one of the people that I've had this chus to learn bitachon from. He's got some amazing sfarim on emunah and bitachon in a way that really, really masters the topic. One of the highest in the generation that we have. His name is Rav Yosef Zalman Bloch. And he's from what I understand, a grandson of Rabbi Eliezer Meir Bloch, and from his grandfather, that they have a testimony, like a well-counted testimony, b'shem the Gra. So again, in the name of the Vilna Gaon, and I've seen it also brought in other places also, other sfarim that have brought it down also, in the name of others, that even if a ganav is on his way to steal, and he has bitachon in Hashem, yes, Hashem will actually help him to steal. So this makes it more difficult to understand. What do you mean? Like, what do you mean? How can Hashem help him to steal? So again, even if we go this approach, there is an approach like this, no question. Bitachon is so powerful that Hashem will help the person to steal. What's going to happen in this situation? So a person will be tremendously rewarded in this situation for applying bitachon, which is one of the greatest mitzvahs, to the point that they'll get tremendously rewarded in the next world for that bitachon. And even in this world, Hashem's helping them to actually steal and get what they want, which is a crazy concept. On the other hand, even according to this opinion, it's very, very clear that there's certainly going to be consequences for the action of stealing. So although there'll be the reward of the action of bitachon, there'll certainly be the consequences for the action of stealing, which a person has to do teshuva for, you know, etc. So like I said, this is more of a technical topic, and the bottom line approach is, like I said, for most people, we're not people who are trying to learn about bitachon are not explicitly trying to be moired against Hashem. This becomes almost a technical topic. Could it work? How does it work? There's many factors. We almost can't ignore it. And just, you know, because it's not really going to be lemaise relevant for pretty much anyone. It doesn't really make sense. Even really the concept of rasho batech b'Hashem, which is brought in the Sfarim, is also not usually relevant, because a person's like an outright rasha is not usually going to be trying to incorporate bitachon into their lives. But again, it's just almost teaching us the principle how powerful bitachon is. I'll just end off with one idea once we've given this whole summary of these fundamentals, your amazing questions you had on bitachon. I'll just give one other idea which is very powerful, and that is that one of the reasons, or two of the reasons, let's just say for now, that bitachon is, this form of bitachon is not usually taught. Again, until I came across this topic, in the last couple of years, I never ever heard over all the years this form of bitachon. And that is, and most other people are the same when I speak to them. They've never heard of this type of bitachon. What? You can have bitachon that something will for sure happen? But why have I never heard that over all these years? We've heard about all the many other elements of Yiddishkeit from the Shiurim and the other elements. Why is this almost so undertaught? And it's very surprising, because bitachon is like the foundation of the entire Torah. And that being the case, like, we need to know how it works. So why is it that, like, it's missed? It's like, it's a real pele. Real, like, it doesn't make any sense. And two of the reasons that I've discussed with others also that make a lot of sense why this is not taught. Firstly, as we've discussed previously, one of the preconditions for bitachon to be an axiom of creation that for sure works without a shadow of a doubt, is that a person is 100% sincere in their bitachon. And because of that, people are nervous sometimes to teach this topic, because sometimes a person takes only the first half of the sentence. They say, listen, I heard that you can be absolutely confident in Hashem and he'll give you exactly what you want. And they try it and they don't get what they want and they fall off the boat. They get into a place of, they lose their emunah. You say, you see all of this that I heard in the learning, it's not true. Bitachon doesn't work, etc. So we're speaking about a certain maturity in one's Yiddishkeit, that one understands emunah. One's not trying to test Hashem. One realizes, and one is mature enough to realize that if they didn't get what they want, even if they thought they were fully sincere, they weren't fully sincere, even if they were trying. It's a very, very high level to be fully sincere. And we've got to keep trying to get there. And as this forum teaches, it's not about getting there. It's about the main reward is just being on the journey, etc. But again, that's one of the dangers, that a person can fall off the boat in their whole emunah from this whole topic, because they try to have bitachon, absolute bitachon, and they don't receive what they want. That's one element. But another element, which is also just as important, is that sometimes people and many of the, or some of the daily inspirations into today's times, and this is Rabbi Bloch's very against these daily inspirations, some of them, it almost becomes like a vending machine. It's almost not about serving Hashem anymore. It's just about, becomes about me. You want to become rich? Let me give you this magic potion called bitachon, and you will become rich, type of thing. Now, we're not saying that doesn't work like that. It does work like that. It's an axiom of creation. You want to become rich? Bitachon has the power to make you rich. It's very clear in many, many sources. But the problem is, there's something, if a person is not mature enough in their level of Yiddishkeit, that all they're worrying about is trying to become rich, and they're not worrying about their midas and their olam haba and things that are much more important than developing financial wealth in this world. So they're missing the whole point of life. They might become rich, etc., but they're going to not perfect or not improve certain mitzvahs. They're also not going to get rid of their lust for money, etc., which is not the purpose of this world. You know, like the ways many put it, what about earning your parnosa for the future world, where people sometimes spend their lives earning parnosa for this year, these years that end at a maximum of 120? What about the eternal life? Many people don't even think about their parnosa for their eternal life. And again, Baruch Hashem, people that are in the world of Torah and mitzvahs and B'nai Torah, they understand that it's much more than just this world. It's much more about the future world. And, you know, and Torah, and life of Torah and mitzvah is much more important than just achieving parnosa or even health or even successful relationships, etc. Although those things are important and we live in this world, but much more important than that is our eternity. So sometimes what can happen with this whole topic of bitachon is it becomes all about me, my needs in this world, and almost leaving Hashem out the picture, almost like a magic potion, almost literally like a life devoid of Torah, just trying to incorporate bitachon to get what I want, to get what I need. And again, the problem with that is that's not the purpose of the Torah and mitzvahs. Although bitachon might have an element that it's so powerful that it will for sure work, etc. However, that wasn't Hashem's intention. Hashem's intention from the beginning is for us to use our free choice to serve Him, to live a life of Torah, of mitzvahs, to do our best to improve ourselves, etc. And incorporate bitachon in every area of our lives, but have a foundation of what life's about. Have our head in the right place, in the right direction, aiming at a life of eternity, you know, of Olam Haba, much more focused on Olam Haba than things about this world. Really focusing on our life of Torah and mitzvahs, etc. And sometimes what can happen is when these, in theory, these theoretical questions become practical will only be for a person who's missed the boat. It will be someone who's literally missing the boat and they're just trying to steal. Yes, then it becomes a technical question. Can bitachon work for them? But what the way I would approach it, and again, how we start, I start off this discussion, is why it's not taught in many circles, is almost forget about bitachon. If the guy's trying to steal, just teach him basic midas, basic Torah, basic mitzvahs, basic halacha. Hashem's perspective is about Olam Haba, and stealing is going to get you in big trouble for eternity, and teach him what Gehenim is, teach him what Gan Eden is, etc., and really help him internalize that, because those are really the basics, and without that foundation, then everything, the bitachon almost becomes like it's irrelevant to him. It's missing the boat, what he's learning about. Will it work? Yes, it will work if he does it properly, but it's not what he should be learning about. He's missing the whole point of the direction he's supposed to be going in life. You know, so again, it's almost a theoretical question that we can ask. The bottom line take home is every single one of us needs to make our highest effort to become B'nai Torah, to grow in Avodas Hashem, to do the most Torah mitzvahs, stay away from sins, do the most, you know, serve Hashem in the best way that we can, develop a personal relationship with Hashem, and incorporate Tefillah and Bitachon and Emunah all as one, in a way that we talk to Hashem, and we're always in constant communication with Hashem. We really build that belief that it's not just I believe it, but it's hard for me to talk to Hashem. No, you don't really believe it if it's hard for you to talk to Hashem. We're human beings, and that's fine, but I'm saying, but if a person then needs to work on their belief, if you have a problem, you need to talk to Hashem. And if you're not talking to Hashem, the big part of it is, I don't really believe that He can help me, because otherwise, why aren't you talking to Him? And, you know, so that it's almost that's the main, the simple foundation that we need to build. And then within that element of, within that space of talking to Hashem, sometimes you incorporate that Vaday Bitachon, Bitachon Bevado is absolutely bitachon, that yes, Hashem, I'm expecting you to come through for me, etc. But it almost doesn't become about that. It becomes about developing a personal relationship with Hashem, always reaching out to Hashem, focusing on our spiritual growth. You know, and B'zrat Hashem, all of us should just, the way you're doing it, you're such an inspiration, just really trying to break all this down. Hashem should bless you and all of us to just continue mechayil l'chayil with all these areas of emunah, bitachon, and really fulfill our mission in this world.